from last night's Democratic presidential debate to how to overcome fear. We've got you covered today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are going to have a great broadcast today on The Line of Fire. Thank you so much for joining me today. Here's the number to call if you have a question of any kind, Bible, theology, political, cultural, any question of any kind, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Before we take any calls, though, I do want to weigh in on last night's Democratic presidential debate, but primarily from a spiritual perspective. Then at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to welcome on Pat and Karen Schatzlein. We're going to talk about their important new book on restoring the roar, a book really on overcoming fear, a very relevant book, and one that actually ties in directly with my Jezebel book, which also deals with how to overcome fear and the Jezebelic fear intimidation tactics. All right. Last night's presidential debate, South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg had this interesting comment where he quoted scripture with reference to minimum wage. Listen to what he said.
The minimum wage is just too low. And so-called conservative Christian senators right now in the Senate are blocking a bill to raise the minimum wage when scripture says that whoever oppresses the poor taunts their maker.
You talk about something inappropriate. You talk about something out of place, out of context. It is that quote. First thing, the minimum wage is not oppressing the poor. The minimum wage is in place for various sociological reasons. If you raise minimum wage, you're going to ultimately cut down worker hours. You put certain companies out of business. There are reasons for it, whether it should be raised a little or not. I'm not expert on that. But it is not oppressing the poor. And plenty of us, early in life, work for minimum wage. I remember working for less than minimum wage because I was allegedly going to get tips working at a gas station, pumping gas for people. Right. That didn't quite work out. I was getting like $2 an hour. But in any case, a lot of us have worked for minimum wage. One of my sons-in-law that's doing terrific in the business world now owns his own company. He started working minimum wage in the same area where he's working now. Plenty of people have done it. That's not oppressing the poor. And to say conservative Christians that are opposing the raising of minimum wage are doing it because they're oppressing the poor, that's utterly bogus. But more to the point, you have here a man who is so pro-abortion that he will not speak out against partial birth abortion or late-term abortion. He will not openly condemn those things, saying as a man that's not his place. And even more to the point, he is a practicing homosexual, quote, married to his male partner. So here he is practicing something, living something that the Bible plainly condemns. Jesus died for him and for his partner. There is redemption, hope, forgiveness for them available. But the fact is they are living in categorical, blatant disobedience to the word of God, the will of God. He is not willing to stand against the shedding of innocent blood in the womb. And then he's going to misquote a scripture about minimum wage. Please. At last night's debate, the star who emerged, the one who, according to many reports, is the most searched for name after the debate, is author Marianne Williamson. Now, I was really not familiar with her, just heard about her Course on Miracles book. And after the first debate, she was kind of getting ridiculed as, you know, she's just spacey and all that. But, you know, headlines saying she's the most searched for candidate last night. And she had some really interesting things to say. This is one of her quotes from the debate that has gone viral, went viral instantly. Listen to this.
This is part of the dark underbelly of American society. the racism, the bigotry, and the entire conversation that we're having here tonight, if you think any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force of the collectivized hatred that this president is bringing up in this country, then I'm afraid that the Democrats are going to see some very dark days.
All right. I don't know if there's a record of this, whether she is the first presidential candidate to use the word wonkiness. And the idea of her running for president for many seems as unlikely as when Donald Trump was running for president. No one could see that. So we've seen all kinds of weird, strange things. And I'm all for talk about spirituality. Let her bring up her New Age spirituality and let us use that to preach the true gospel to those seeking and searching in the wrong places. But again, I find this strikingly ironic that here you have this New Age advocate, this leftist advocate, this pro-abortion advocate, this pro-radical feminism advocate. You could go down with the list of things that I put in the Jezebel category, the same demonic powers that operated through Jezebel operating today in these various forces, from radical feminism to the Shout Your Abortion movement, to the emasculating of men, to the war on gender, to the seduction through porn, to all these different things that I refer to as Jezebelic. Here she is talking about this dark psychic force, the exact quote, of collectivized hatred that this president is bringing up in this country. And she doesn't recognize that she is standing for what a dark spiritual force, namely Jezebel, is pushing for. She should have talked about a dark spiritual force, not a dark psychic force. Oh, yes, I believe that the president, with his methods and mannerisms, does stir up hatred. I believe hatred was stirred up by our previous president as well. I believe it's getting even worse now in terms of hatred being stirred up in America. I don't deny that reality. But the real issue, the real enemy, is not this dark psychic force, but these dark demonic forces. And ironically, the party for which she is seeking to be the presidential candidate has positions that are in lockstep with this Jezebelic dark spiritual force. Now, if you want to know who Marianne Williamson really is in terms of her spirituality, these are some excerpts from some lectures of hers on her Course of Miracles. And by the way, she is Oprah's spiritual advisor. So let's listen to some of her teaching. Want to know who God is, who you are? This is what she has to say.
Together, let's all take a deep breath and close our eyes. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow, larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind.
Ah, by the way, her running for president is a good PR campaign. I believe she wants to be president. It's in her mind to do it. But either way, it's a good PR campaign, because otherwise what she writes and says will skyrocket. And just an alert, a heads up, everyone's going to be talking about the Course in Miracles and more than ever, and spirituality and all this. This is going to be in the air. So believers, be ready to seize this opportunity to preach about the real spirituality found in Jesus, not this pseudo-spiritual, ooh, the orb queen, as she has been called. More from her Course on Miracles lecture.
Through your holiness, the laws of time and space are transcended. That is the story in the Bible of the parting of the Red Sea. That is the story of all of the miracles performed by God when the Israelites were in the desert. That is the story of all of the miracles that Jesus performed in the New Testament. The idea of the miraculous is the idea that when you are placed within your consciousness above attachment to the limitations of the world, your consciousness is freed of the limitations of the mortal world, and therefore miracles occur naturally.
Again, so she's lecturing about her Course in Miracles, and what is, again, so strikingly ironic, when she talks about holiness, I'm quite sure that what she believes is right and wrong sexually, and people living together outside of wedlock, and homosexual couples, and various polyamorous relationships that she'd probably warmly support and embrace. That's all part of this holiness. It is the counterfeit. This is a woman running to be president of the United States. One more clip.
Everything stems first and foremost from our relationship with God who is within us, and then to the extent to which we're aligned in our relationship with our primary source, which is God. To that extent, we are aligned with other people. The thought of peace was given to God's Son, and that means all of us, the instant that his mind had thought of war.
All right, so God is our inner being, right? Our insights get in tune with yourself, it's getting in tune with God. And when you read the Bible about the Son of God, that's all of us. This is this bizarre New Age spirituality, which, by the way, has no repentance of sin and turning to the true God in it. That's one of the hallmarks of this false spirituality. But in the midst of all this, I spotted this headline today on Breitbart. Check this out. Witches for Marianne Williamson launch a cult task force. Yep. And listen to this quote. In an interview with the Washington Post, the anonymous individual heading up the task force told the Jeff Bezos own newspaper that 13 witches, chaos magicians, and energy workers performed gestures in an effort to get Williamson more speaking time during Tuesday's Democrat presidential primary debate in Detroit, Michigan. The whole orb gang community is tapping into the power of memes to reflect back on and multiply the sort of pulsing undercurrents of our collective unconscious. The person emailed the Post. According to the publication, Williamson's supporters refer to themselves as the Orb Gang, who share memes of the candidate on social media. In reality, some of this is just talk, empty talk, and self-deceived people. And some of it is counterfeit spirituality tapping into demonic things. Look, as we talk about the rise of the Jezebelic spirit, if you haven't ordered the book yet, get it today, Jezebel's War on America. Go there, JezebelsWarInAmerica.com, and order a copy. You'll understand why we are shouting this out loud. It is no coincidence that as this is going on, you've got the rise of all of these Jezebelic attitudes and mindsets. At the same time, you have the rise of witchcraft in America. We've been talking about this for months now. And then you have the fascination with sorcery. Right now, 6 or 7 of the most read books on Amazon, not most sold, but most read books on Amazon, they have a category for that, 6 or 7 out of the top 10 are Harry Potter books. The fascination with sorcery. And now, friends, it may sound just silly, and we can laugh about it on the one hand, but this is serious spiritual stuff. People are opening themselves up to all kinds of deception. Let's pray for Marianne Williamson, and let's seize this moment to preach the true Jesus and true spirituality and true life in the Holy Spirit. All right, we'll be back with your calls on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Together, let's all take a deep breath and close our eyes. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow, larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind.
I imagine Marianne Williamson is not really keen on like witch. Well, maybe she welcomes witch support. Don't know. But let me say this in all seriousness, friends. When I came to faith in 1971, it was in the height of the Jesus People movement, which arose in the midst of the counterculture revolution. It was also called the Jesus Revolution, that rise up of God saving us in the midst of the counterculture revolution. And many of you know, if you go back to those days, that it was the practice of young people, and you'd get high and you'd talk about spiritual things. You look at footage from Monterey Pop and Woodstock, and as much as you've got the sex, drugs, and rock and roll stuff, you got a spiritual search and Eastern religion. And that's just what we talked about all the time. We'd get high and we'd talk about spiritual things. And then God began to save us left and right and transform our lives and bring us into the real faith and bring us to real repentance. But the bottom line, in short, is that as crazy as these ideas are, and as much as things spread in a destructive way, in fact, it's a great opportunity for us to pray for divine appointments and open doors to share the gospel. By the way, I referred to Course on Miracles. It's Course in Miracles. I had on in my brain, so I misspoke the title of my new book. As I was saying, it's like something doesn't sound right, and my team was kind enough to point out. So Jezebel's War with America, not on. Jezebel's War with America. Let me mention this one more time. The book comes out in 5 days. It's already been a bestseller in several categories on Amazon. We've got the most pre-interest in this book of any book I've written. Something's going on. Others are feeling the same way, friends. But if you pre-order now, right, so go to JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. You can only do this another few days, okay? JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. Then it'll give you an option to click Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Christian Book, wherever you order your books. Click on that. You'll order the hardcover. You come back a second later with the number, your proof of purchase. You will get the ebook free. So if you prefer ebook, keep that, give the hardcover away. You get the ebook free from my book, Playing with Holy Fire. You get the ebook free of 7 Secrets of the Real Messiah. This is all just for buying the one book, plus 2 complete MP4 video downloads, over $50 of free material. But you've got to take advantage of this now. Jezebel's War with America.com, and then you click on Amazon, wherever else you normally order. All right, I'm going to open the phones to any subject under the sun, and then bottom of the hour, talk with Pat and Karen Schatzline about Restore the Roar. So we go to Fab in Boston. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Fab.
Hey, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well. Go ahead. All right, tell you what, got to turn your radio down. So, Howard, I'm not sure who's doing phones today. Just make sure Fab has it right. I'll come right back to her, okay? Make sure she's got things set up right. Let's go over to Brian in Florida. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I had a quick question, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, and just haven't had a chance to talk to you about it, but I listened to a teaching years ago, and it was on Hebrew grammatical. I don't know exactly what you call it, but you know when Jesus uses the phrases "truly, truly," or in the Book of Revelation it says "holy, holy, holy," and it uses the words twice and sometimes three times.
Mm-hmm.
That in the Hebrew writing style, that the double usage of words was like in kind of similar to using an exclamation point in the English language, and then therefore the triple usage of words was even more emphatic. And I was just really wondering if that's something you can verify.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, you didn't have punctuation in ancient Hebrew the way we have it in English or the way you have it in modern Hebrew today. So you didn't have exclamation points, things like that. So yeah, it's kind of self-evident. In other words, Brian, it's not really a mystery to it that to say truly, truly, Hebrew may have been amen, amen. So you're obviously reinforcing it. But I think anyone reading that in English would have that same feeling. You know what I'm saying? When you read truly, truly, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm really emphasizing this. Or to say that God is holy, holy, holy. Mm-hmm. It is really drilling it home. So it's not, and let me say this, I am not a linguist in terms of studied all languages of the world, in terms of putting them in categories and things like that. My degree was in Near Eastern languages and literatures. My focus was there. But I'm quite sure that you'll see that repeating something twice or three times in many other languages is a way of emphasis or extreme emphasis and things like that. So it wouldn't just be a Hebraic thing. It's not unique Semitic grammar or things like that. You find things like this common in other languages as well, and self-evident. But sure, of course it's accurate. Hey, thank you for the call. All right, we try Fab again in Boston. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Sorry about that. How are you today?
Doing well, thanks.
Good, good. All right, so always a blessing to talk to you, and your radio show is such a blessing. And I have a question in relation to the origin of a healing. So I think I was healed of something this Shabbat, and it's a very significant something, but just for privacy reasons, I don't want to reveal what it is, but it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And how it came about, I've been praying and praying and praying, and Lord, you know, I need healing here, and, you know, just really didn't get a lot of results. So someone says, hey, you know what? They were telling everyone to go listen to this prayer to be cleansed of something, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right. It sounds like maybe something Kabbalistic or, you know, something that necessarily isn't Hebrew as much as maybe a little bit of mysticism. So I go in not to do anything with this prayer, but listen to it to see where she's leading these people, what road she's putting these people down. So I'm listening to this prayer in Hebrew, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. I think the English version of it is probably called the Genesis prayer or something like this. So, but I'm listening to a rabbi sing the prayer and recite the prayer traditionally, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling something physiologically in my body, and I start to get a little nervous because I'm like, what is this? And then ever since Shabbat, I've noticed just a change, right? So I'm concerned that, and of course,
let me just ask you this. This was at a Messianic Jewish congregation or in a traditional synagogue?
Normally I go, well...
No,
it was
when this happened
on this case.
Oh, so where was this prayer?
I was at home in bed. I was at home in bed, and I looked this prayer up on YouTube to see where this person was leading these people, because that's okay. Kind of what I do, right? I look into that.
Got it. And
so
who,
I'm listening to it, thinking I'm going to fall asleep, and all of a sudden, physiologically, I noticed.
All clear.
Yeah.
So who was the person praying the prayer?
So it was it's an old rabbi, and I don't know this guy. So his name is,
he's a Kabbalist,
and that's the part.
Got it. Okay, so here's, right, so first thing, obviously, there are 100 more questions I'd want to ask you, which I don't have time to, but let me, in the very short time that I have, see if I can address this.
Okay.
Obviously, your concern is, did you open yourself up to some type of demonic power? Is there some type of counterfeit spirituality and demonic thing that's, so you're feeling better, but it's really through the devil? So here's what I would do. All right, first thing, Fab,
okay,
shoot us a note, write to info.
Okay.
At askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, or it's right on our website. Just click contact and send us the link.
Okay.
All right. Okay. We'll take a look at this because obviously this is something of larger interest and it's your own life here. Send us the link.
Yeah.
There could be divine truth there. It could be a Holy Spirit led prayer. Look, I know of a phony evangelist years ago. He was an out and out charlatan who went by the name of Marjo, from Mary and Joseph, and he was an absolute fraud. He was a charlatan, and people get saved in his meetings and healed in his meetings. You say, how could that happen? Well, because what he actually preached was true, and people heard the word and responded to the word, and responded to promises of healing and were touched. So what I would do is this. First, I'd say, Father, I receive only that which comes from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. So, Lord, I receive healing from you. I receive life from you. And I would praise God for that. I would say, Lord, I renounce any demonic power that would seek to infiltrate my heart, my mind, my body in Yeshua's name. I'd make that clear stand and trust God for his grace and protection. And then, by all means, send us that link, and we'll take a look. And someone on our team will shoot you a note back in terms of if there's any further reason to be concern. May the Lord give you grace. May his healing power flow through your body, and may you be freed from any concern and fear of any other attack. May it be so in Jesus' name. Hey, thanks. Russ in Salt Lake City, I'm not going to be able to get to your call. Hebrews 6:4-6. Check out my article about can an apostate turn back. So just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. You'll see there's one of the lead articles on the homepage, or just type in apostate. Now, you may be questioning my article, but that's the best place to go for that. All right, friends, I may not be able to get to more calls. You're welcome to hang on in case we can at the end of the next half hour. Otherwise, We'll look for your calls. I'll put you at the top of our list later in the week when you call in. All right, we'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. We are going to focus on a very important subject, overcoming the spirit of fear. Friends, when I wrote my book, Jezebel's War with America, I realized very clearly more than ever in my life, the degree to which this Jezebelic spirit, these demonic powers, seek to intimidate and paralyze through fear. So I was thrilled in the midst of finishing that book to get a copy of a manuscript by my friends Pat and Karen Schatzlein called Restore the Roar, Defeat the Spirit of Fear with the Breath and Power of God. I thought, what an ideal subject. So I want to dive right in. We've got Pat and Karen on the line with us. Hey, welcome back to The Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us.
Dr. Brown, we are so honored to be on with you. You know, you're a dear friend, and it was actually because of you that I took my health back, and it's because of you that so much of my life has been transformed. So Karen and I are honored to be on with you. Go ahead, Karen.
Yes, we are so honored to be able to be on the program today and to share with you. You are really an inspiration to us, and so we just thank you for all that you've done.
Oh, well, my joy to be in it together, and I've been thrilled to watch the health journey as well. So why did you write the book? Who is it written to?
You know, I'll dive in, Karen, for a second, then turn it right to you. The book was written because Dr. Brown, for years, standing on stages, speaking all over the world, five continents, you know, 3 million miles of ministry, we had conquered a lot in our life. We had conquered so much. We've been married 29 years, have two grandkids. Our son's a pastor out in California. But one aspect that we had never approached was fear and the debilitation of fear. And the fear really is, I've got it in the opening chapter of the new book, Restore the Roar, that bottom line is fear is the intimidator of the anointed. It is the intimidator of God, of those that God has called to do great things. And for me personally, I battled it intensely. And then what happened was last year, Karen got a terrible diagnosis from a doctor, and it awoke us. And it was on the other side of that battle that we walked through that I was laying in a hotel room, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "What happened to your roar?" You know, Amos 3:8 says, "As the lion roars, so the prophet." You know, as the lion roars, so the prophet speaks. Well, we've lost our roar in America. We've lost our roar around the world because we're so worried about what culture will think. We're so worried about what people will say, you know, all the social media. And God just woke me up with that term. And I said, "Lord, I don't have a roar. I'm weary. I'm exhausted." He said, "Get your roar back." And I'll let Karen dive in. But this book was written for every person that is called to greatness because fear is the embryo of courage. And to awaken to that anointing. And let me give you one line from the opening of the book. It just, "Fear is the thief of yesterday's dream, the intimidator of today's promises, the decapitator of headship, and the emasculator of tomorrow's warriors, the cage of God's eagles, and the enemy's greatest weapon to hold us hostage." But that's why we wrote it. We said, it's time to wake up. Go ahead, Karen.
Well, and I completely agree with that because, you know, just like Pat, you know, we had battled fear. I had battled fear from a young age, you know, just fear of everything, fear of man, fear of people's opinions, fear of not being enough, fear of not being qualified enough. And I think, you know, when I received the doctor's diagnosis last, you know, a year and a half ago, that just kind of brought it all to a head. And there's a moment you have to wake up and say, "I was created for more. I was created to go beyond the boundaries that the enemy would like to put on me." The Bible tells us the enemy is a liar. There's no truth in him. And so we have to realize, you know, I love that, you know, God revealed to us that fear is not the absence of courage. It is, fear is courage waiting to be awakened. It is the embryo of courage. And without fear, we wouldn't awaken to the courage that God has placed inside of us. So I think, just like Pat said, this book is for everyone, everyone who has faced an obstacle, everyone who's faced a mountain, everyone who's faced the intimidation of the enemy, that you can reach freedom if you will run into the presence of God.
And, you know, in the book, you're both very candid. The brand new book, Pat and Karen Schatzline, Restore the Roar. And again, I have to say how thrilled I was to see this, because I came under some unusual attack in the last couple of years, some stuff I had not gone through in this way. And I, by God's grace, I was able to keep ministering and doing everything that I normally did, but it was oppressive, it was ugly, it was this intimidating fear, and it is so paralyzing. And I thought, I've got to write a whole book on this in the future. And then I get yours, I thought, wow. And Karen, you get the diagnosis, people hear the word cancer, and right with that, this paralyzing fear comes. So you've had to deal with fear in the past. Now you get this diagnosis. Karen, how did that diagnosis hit you? And then, Pat, what were your thoughts?
Well, I think when I got the diagnosis, it caused me to go into this area of having to pursue how to overcome. And, you know, I realized when I got that diagnosis that faith is incredibly easy to have until you are the one who's requiring that you have faith, until you're the one who is needing it. And so right before I got the diagnosis, I was standing at the kitchen sink, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you're about to walk through a difficult and uncertain season, but do you trust me? And that statement, do you trust me, I think that's for a lot of people, their freedom of fear is right on the other side of their trust. Because God didn't ask me about my faith. We were beyond that. Faith is a result of our encounter with God. But trust goes a step further. Trust is all about His reputation. It's all about our relationship with Him. Because when we move from that place of faith to truly walking with God, then we depend on and we trust Him, not our own strength, not whatever's going. So when I got the diagnosis, it sent us on a journey of not only facing that diagnosis and the fear that came with that, but facing a lifelong issue that had been in our life of fear and overcoming and conquering that. It was bigger than a diagnosis. It was about reaching a place, a level of relationship, a level of faith that we had never gone to before in our life.
So you come to the end of your own strength, and then you come into God's strength. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's an incredible revelation. It's not, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, it's the recognition of hiding yourself in Him, and then anything's possible. So Pat, you're the man of God. You're the husband. You're the man of faith, and you want to cover your wife and protect. So when you hear this diagnosis, how does it hit you?
You know, I'm going to be really honest with you. I began to wimp out. And then I woke up one morning, and, you know, fear is to hell what faith is to the believer. It's Satan's number one ploy. In fact, all root of sin comes from fear.
Say that again. Say that again, Pat.
Fear is to hell what faith is to the believer. In other words, what we use to overcome the enemy, that's his biggest weapon. It is the root of all sin. It is the crippling spirit. And, you know, Dr. Brown, for years, I would stand on stages, but right before I'd walk out on stage to 3 people or 30,000 people, I would call Karen, I'd go to an alley, I'd go behind the stage, and I would just say, okay, I'm scared to death. I need to pray. And
isn't that something?
It's so funny. God uses the ones that shouldn't be used, I guess. But I'm going to be honest with you. When it first happened, I felt myself shrinking back. I felt myself hiding. I felt myself becoming a victim mentality. But, you know, all through God's word, anyone he ever used, fear drove them into hiding, but it was in the hiding that God used them, that he would really do the work inside of them. You know, the greater the anointing, the greater the isolation. And so what I decided to do, we have an altar in our house, in our bedroom, and we would take those doctor's reports of, you know, from the oncologist, and we would lay it on that altar, and we'd say, we refuse to receive this. We're just not going to do it. And a lot of it at first is just word. But then your praise has to rise up. And you begin to brag on God. And I got to a place where I'd wake up every morning and I would say, Alexa, turn on Surrounded by, you know, Upper Room. And it would go through the whole house. And I would watch Karen slowly get out of bed and get her body moving and working. And we would do this, and we were traveling the world, we're speaking through this whole thing. And at the same time, I kept saying, this sickness shall not in the death. The power of life and death in the Son. And I began to realize that during this season, God, I promise you, if you will heal my lady, my sweetheart of 29 years, I promise you we will use it. And it was at the other side of that. We had a miracle. God radically healed her. Karen will tell more about that. But it was on the other side of that I realized most people backslide after the battle. Most people just go lethargic after, you know, the spirit of lethargy. After fear comes lethargy. They're brother and sister. And it was on the other side of that I'm laying in a hotel room getting ready to go to Europe to speak. And God said, I want you to get your roar back. And I said, Lord, I don't have a roar. I'm weary. I'm exhausted. So I was strong during the battle. On the other side of it, I started getting lethargic. And some that are listening right now, you've overcome a lot, and you're just happy to be alive. But God didn't call you to be a zombie. He didn't call you just to be, you know, filling air. You are called to declare his glory.
Yeah, so friends, this is not just for those in public ministry, preaching, teaching, the new book, Restore the Roar by Pat and Karen Schatzline. Oh, it applies to those in public ministry, but this is for everybody because fear doesn't discriminate. Fear is trying to take us out, paralyze, cripple us, mom at home with her kids, getting lied to about fear and on and on and on. Karen, what responses are you hearing from folks who are reading the book, getting early copies of it? What effect is it having on readers?
Well, you know, we have gotten all kinds of testimonies from people who are reading the book. We had a poster made up to go with the book because during the whole cancer diagnosis, God gave me a formula for defeating fear, which is just the 2 Timothy 1:7. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And he gave me a download of researching that, of finding out what that was. Because I won't lie, I was afraid. There were times where fear would overtake me. I think sometimes that we as Christians, we think that fear comes into our life that we have failed. But fear is just the embryo of courage. When fear comes in, it's an opportunity to let courage arise in our life. And I researched that, finding out that power means that I can change the atmosphere, that love is perfect love casts out all fear, and that a sound mind, God gives us the ability to distinguish between what is real and what is absurd and unfounded in our life. And he gave me this whole download of that. And so when we made that poster and started sending it out, we've gotten reports of even children who had put this up in their rooms and started believing and claiming those scriptures, and because they're actually weapons. Power, love, and a sound mind are actually weapons. God said he didn't give us fear or panic, but I did give you three things. I gave you the weapons that you needed to combat, overtake, conquer, and defeat fear. And it's
right, I gotta jump in here. We gotta break. Friends, a ton more in the book, Restore the Roar, Pat and Karen Schatzline. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm speaking with Pat and Karen Schatzline, their brand new book, Restore the Roar, the subtitle, Defeat the Spirit of Fear with the Breath and Power of God, something they have lived out themselves, something very, very real to them. Pat, there's a chapter in the book, The Shadow Looms, and you explain there that tragedy has a trajectory. What do you mean by that?
You know, I was raised in a fearful house. I was raised in a home where if you walked out the front door, my mom would immediately scream, I plead the blood of Jesus over you. So I talk about the power of the blood of Jesus, but the shadow looms is when you've been through enough, you begin to expect the bad. I tell in that chapter, a dear pastor sent me a text the other day with a picture of one of the pages in that chapter where I tell the story of when my son was little, I would walk over, he would wake up scared at night. Nate's 27 now. He's a dad. He's a youth pastor of an incredible movement out in California. But I had a bottle, a white bottle that I put water in, and I wrote Holy Spirit on it. And he would wake up in the middle of the night, and he would say, Dad, I'm scared. And I'd go into his room, and he would say, over there in the closet. So I would take out what I called the Holy Spirit spray. I said, okay, let's take it out. And I would, middle of the night, I'm just spraying water in the room. And he would say, okay, Daddy. Now here's the problem. I mean, you can mail do a carpet real quick like that, and if we probably did. But there comes a moment where you begin to expect, because you've been through so much, everything's going to crash on you. Something bad's going to happen. A phone call's going to come.
Yep.
But you have to rise up in faith and say, wait a minute. The enemy is nothing but a shadow, and God has no shadow of turning. And so you've got to trust that he is already ahead of you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Right, so fear is always something bad is going to happen in the future. I remember when my dad died suddenly in 1977, we got a call in the middle of the night that every time the phone would ring late at night, my heart would start to beat like, oh no, what is it? So obviously enough things happen, you start to think everything's going to come down. So faith is the exact opposite. It's a confidence of God being with you today and tomorrow. So Pat, as you have ministered these truths to people, you've seen it work out in your own life. Right before the break, Karen was sharing some of what she's seen people getting these messages as the book is about to come out, the effect that it's had. As God's changed you, have you seen people experience the same change and the lifting off the oppression of fear?
I'm telling you, it is amazing that even the physical miracles that happen. We were with Pastor John Kilpatrick recently and saw 19 confirmed miracles. Guy got out of a wheelchair, and we preached on fear. Karen shared her story. You know, a bottom line is you can't walk through something and not minister to it. If you do, you're letting the enemy win. Mm-hmm. And I am watching even key leaders text us every day that have gotten the book in advance, and they're saying, you don't understand. I secretly battled this my whole life. Greatness looks amazing on stage. When the lights are shining, everybody's armor looks great. But let them come off the stage. You'll see the flaws in their armor. We all have flaws. And the number one attack on anyone that God desires to use, I believe with all my heart, is fear. It leads to a failure spirit. It leads to all the other stuff. But what I love is over and over and over with this particular book, you know, we wrote Rebuilding the Altar. You were a part of that. And then we rebuilt the altar, and it was right after we preached about or talked about rebuilding the altar that this all began to happen. My son said to me one day, he said, Dad, when are you going to write your next book? And I said, oh, probably a couple years from now. 2 weeks later, he called me and he said, Dad, did you just say you're writing another book? I said, I have to. And bottom line is, when we walk through the other side of this, we begin to realize this is not just about Pat and Karen. This is about moms and dads taking authority over this thing that is conquering their family, conquering their heart, key leaders, business people, walking in a boldness. And so it's been pretty miraculous. Already the reports we're getting.
Excellent. And Karen, obviously folks want to know, okay, well, what happened with cancer? What happened with God speaking to you about it? Where do things stand now? This is all in the book, Restore the Roar, but you got to tell us what happened.
Absolutely. Because, you know, one thing I had to realize, and, you know, Psalm 23 tells us, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, I want to speak to those who might be listening. We're all going to walk through the valleys. It's inevitable. We're going to walk through the shadows. We're going to walk through those dark times. But as Pat said, you know, God has no shadow of turning. Psalm 18 tells us that all we have to do is turn on the light switch with God. It says, God, you floodlight my life. I'm blazing with glory. Every God direction is road tested. Everyone who runs to him makes it. And that's what we have to believe, that God's word is true. When you face some situation in your life, like a life-threatening disease, like cancer, do I trust that God's word is true? Do I take him at his word? Am I going to believe? You know, in those moments, you have to realize that peace is not an emotion. Isaiah 26:3 tells us that he'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him because they trust him. And we can realize that we can create an atmosphere. We write about how creating that room, that place in your home for the breath of God to flow. Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God made me, but the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And through that cycle that we were walking through, digging into God's Word, trusting His Word, standing in His promises, we came to that point. I was walking up on a stage in Brazil to speak. And God spoke, that same spirit that spoke to me at the kitchen sink that said, do you trust me, said, your blood has been made whole. And at the same time, Pat was in North Carolina, and they spoke to him and said, the storm is over. We get home, walk into the doctor's office, and the doctor is just baffled. He can't understand it. He comes in to give me a bone marrow biopsy and looks at me and says, I don't know what happened. When you came in, you had cancer, but today your blood is completely cancer-free. I am completely healed. God's word is true in every way.
You know, Karen, I want to dive in on that, Dr. Brown, for a second. And what was amazing is when the doctor first walked in, Karen was feeling horrible. Her body was aching. She went to doctor after doctor, and finally they sent her to an oncologist. And one of the things that happened was when the doctor came in and told her, we believe you have leukemia in your blood. And Karen looked at him and said, okay, go ahead, Karen, tell him what you said to the doctor, because this led down to months worth of journey till finally that doctor walking in going, oh, my, he was smiling ear to ear.
Yeah. Well,
so tell him what you said to the doctor.
The first day he gave me the diagnosis, because I had had that kitchen sink encounter, I looked at him and I said, I'm going to ask you to never call it that again, because I'm not receiving it. I'm not crazy. I'm not in denial. I just know it doesn't belong to me. I said, just like if my kids brought a stray dog home, I'm not giving it a name. Because if you name it, you keep it. It becomes a part of the family. I said, through from this day forward, I'm not claiming this. I'm not receiving it. I know what you see in the doctor's report. I know what you see in the blood report, but it's not mine to keep. It will not be mine for the legacy of my life.
Mm.
It's pretty powerful.
Again,
he actually takes her, file to other oncologist conventions and says, explain this. How did this happen? And they go, we can't. World-renowned oncologist cannot in Fort Worth. And he took it to a conference and said, guys, I'm baffled.
Yeah, so friends, here's what's really important to hear. Pat and Karen did not go into just denial and say, we're not going to a doctor. They were at doctors. They were consulting with doctors, getting tests, and trusting God and saying, look, those of you who've been through cancer battles are in them right now. It can become the whole reality of your life. And I'm not saying it in a critical way, but it's all consuming. And that's the reality. And they're saying our reality is that we are going to trust God. And if anything comes with a spirit of fear, it's that cancer diagnosis. So friends, Restore the Roar is incredibly practical. It could be literally the difference between life and death. All right, we are short on time, but really quick, Pat, the last chapter, If They Can, We Can. You talk about King Uzziah and the 80 priests. Where does this come from?
You know, we always talk about King Uzziah, full of pride, gets leprosy, gets kicked out of the house of God. His son, Jotham, takes over. And what's amazing about that is because of his own disobedience, his own son never went back to church again. But the Bible says that Azariah and 80 other courageous priests. Well, I've never heard anybody talk about about the 80 other courageous priests.
Mm-hmm.
The number 80 is P-E-Y in the Hebrew. It means pray. So Azariah and 80 prayer warriors walk in and confront. Now, they could have died. He was making sacrifice on the altar. It wasn't his place. He was not of the right lineage to do that. It would lead to Isaiah in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, the cousin. But what people don't understand is there comes a moment where you have to rise up. I watch you do it all the time, Dr. Brown, like no one else. You take hits. I mean, the keyboard commandos come at you. But what I love is in that story, there's 80 nameless, faceless prayer warriors that made a stand right behind the high priest and walked in and said no more. And there are people that are listening right now. Look, what you have to understand, truth is a new hate speech, and the enemy of truth is silence. It is time for people to stand up and say enough's enough when it comes to culture. Fear cannot have us. If you will confront fear today, the next generation, the Isaiahs, will see the Lord tomorrow. And that's what that whole chapter is about. If they can, and if you don't believe it, just read Hebrews 12, the whole chapter. You know what's amazing about Hebrews 12? We love that chapter. Nobody ever goes to the very end where it says, for some, the miracle didn't happen, but they were okay with it. And you've got to be okay with your miracle not happening.
Yeah, and ultimate faith is going to see us through. Hey, friends, we're out of time. Pat and Karen, I don't think it's a coincidence that Jezebel's War with America and Restore the Roar come out on the same day, August 6th.
Wow.
So friends,
wow.
It's time to overcome fear. Restore the Roar with Pat and Karen Schatzline. Always great being with you guys. May many be set free through your book. Thank you.
God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.